In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 20 and follow Paul on his journey as he left Troas and came to Miletus and there sent for the elders from Ephesus. And then he's going to talk to those elders, and we're going to look at detail at what he had to say to them. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. Before we get there, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in studying this journey of Paul from Troas to Jerusalem, where he's going to stop at Miletus and talk to the elders, in studying this, we're going to be looking at Elam's notes that he wrote for the Sunday schools of November the 8th, 1925. Let's begin with Paul at Troas. The notes say, while Paul preached at Troas, the occasion of the disciples coming together was not to hear him preach, but to break bread. And while they were gathered to break bread, he preached to them. During this meeting, Paul restored to life Eutychus, who fell from the window of the third story at midnight. And when he had talked with the disciples until daylight, he departed. This was a solemn and serious occasion, because they did not expect to see Paul again. He walked across the peninsula from Troas to Assos while the ship sailed around. In 4 days the ship went from Assos to Miletus. Paul had determined to pass Ephesus, hastening, as it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. His time was running short. He had already left Philippi after the Passover. For some reason, the ship tarried there long enough for Paul to send to Ephesus for the elders of the church and to make this farewell address. This is a most serious and comprehensive speech. The church at Ephesus had elders. Paul reminded these elders of his manner of life from the first day he set foot in Asia until that time. What he endured and suffered at Ephesus is expressed as follows: serving the Lord with all lowliness of mind and with tears and with trials which befell me by the plot of the Jews. All his persecutions at Ephesus are not recorded, especially those plots of the Jews. References are made to them. He wrote from Ephesus to the Corinthians, even into this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and with toil, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things, even until now. 1 Corinthians 4, 11-13. It seems that he was also exposed to wild beasts, 1 Corinthians 15:32, and that God delivered him from death, 2 Corinthians 1:8-11. In the midst of all this various suffering, he shrank not from declaring anything that was profitable, and the whole counsel of God was taught them publicly and from house to house. Earnest work in teaching from house to house is placed by Paul on par with publicly proclaiming the gospel. But in this he places himself in striking contrast with modern pastors who make a few calls a day, sometimes not for the all-important purpose of teaching the Word of God, but for social purposes and gossip. Paul also stands out with scarred, covered body in bold contrast with the time servers so abundant in modern pulpits, who never rebuke sin except at long distance, who speak none but smooth words about corruption in the church, and whose whole study is personal popularity. Such men care for the souls only as those souls may be in some way glorify them. They're too faithful to their own aggrandizement to think of being faithful to God. All that preachers say may be true, and yet they may fall far short of preaching all the truth. They must preach that which is profitable to the hearers, whether it pleases or not, even if, like Paul, they must suffer for it. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. That Paul shrank not from declaring the whole counsel of God implies that there are things in the whole counsel of God from which some might shrink from declaring when persecution is imminent. Neither is there anything in the whole counsel of God that cannot be preached to mixed audiences of men and women. People who are too modest to hear the whole counsel of God are too modest to be Christians. Paul testified both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Jews and Gentiles believed in God when they did not believe in Jesus, and even before they had heard of Him. Hence they should repent of their sins against God and believe in Jesus as the Son of God and the Christ. Repenting of their sins against God prepared them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this does not sustain the theory that repentance unto salvation precedes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For none can repent of their sins against God before they believe in God, or of their sins against Jesus before they believe in Him as the Christ the Savior. Paul says he is pure from the blood of all men. Let me read the text. Acts chapter 20, verses 25 through 27. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. Paul was bound in his own spirit to go to Jerusalem. He had determined to go. In every city the Holy Spirit testified to Paul that bonds and afflictions awaited him at Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit testified this in words, saying, and it shows that the way in which it was done. Paul had learned to value his life only as an opportunity and means of accomplishing God's purpose. And he could truly say he was willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. He informed these elders that they would see his face no more. He impressed upon them the fact that he was pure from the blood of all men, because he had not shrunk from declaring the whole counsel of God. Those preachers then who failed to declare the whole counsel of God will be held accountable for the condemnation of others. We're all responsible for the blood of men to the extent of our influence. Jesus teaches all to let their light shine, and those who do not do so will not escape condemnation. Responsibility to God and men is the greatest consideration of life. And he told those elders to take heed to yourselves. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Take heed to yourselves, he said. While these elders were wise in advance in knowledge of the truth and had made much progress in self-government, yet Paul exhorts them first to watch themselves. In some things, self comes first, and this is one of those things. We are too prone to place self last when it should be first, and first when it should be last. We should examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Elders are to be examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3. The elders of verse 17 are here called bishops, which shows that elders and bishops are the same persons. In the Authorized Version, bishops are called overseers. Pastors are shepherds. Overseers are bishops are shepherds. And elders or bishops are overseers. Hence, in the New Testament, elders, pastors, and bishops are the same persons. A congregation that has many pastors and bishops as it has elders. To call one man the pastor or the minister of a congregation is unscriptural as to call one man the bishop of that congregation or of several congregations. Paul had delivered to these elders the whole counsel of God, that they should remember it, guard themselves, and turn not away from this teaching. After taking heed to themselves, they were to take heed to all the flock. One must study the customs and work of Eastern shepherds in order to understand and appreciate this instruction and the work and duties of elders. Shepherds were out by day and by night with their flocks. The drought consumed them in the day, the frost in the night. The sheep fled from their ewes. The true shepherd gives his life for the sheep, John 10:11-13. Why the hireling flees when he sees danger. Elders are to tend the flock of God and to feed the church, which means to guard and protect them from evil, to lead them into the green pastures of God's truth and beside the still waters of peace, to teach, exhort, and admonish them, and to set them a good example. They're to keep down trouble and false teaching within, and also to protect the flock from grievous wolves from without. The shepherd lad, David, protecting his flock, killed a bear and even a lion, and rescued the lambs of 1 Samuel 17:34-36. And elders today must save the lambs from such men as come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. This is a great responsibility, for they watch after souls, and many congregations suffer because elders do not do their duty. On this point, we can see what Paul wrote to the churches in Crete in Titus chapter 1 verses 9 through 11, how that the elders are to stop those gainsayers. This is a very important subject. The Holy Spirit made these overseers or elders. The Holy Spirit gave the qualifications needful to bishops and left the disciples to select these endowed with the qualifications. These may have been appointed by the Holy Spirit and others, or may have been endowed by the Spirit to fit them for their work. We find these qualifications given by the Spirit both in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. The Holy Spirit makes overseers now by giving their qualifications, their work, and by teaching that there should be elders in all properly developed congregations. God purchased with His own blood the church through the suffering and sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. People are blessed and saved then by the blood of Jesus as they accept His offer, obey His truth, and enter thus into His church. Paul called attention here to the great price paid in the blood of Jesus for the church, to impress upon these elders their great responsibility, and to encourage them in their duty. He warned of grievous wolves that were without, and of false teachers that were within. We read in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing your flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. We're going to read more about these grievous wolves and false teachers when we return to our next class. So mark in your Bibles, Acts chapter 20.